The topic of our lecture this morning is Shepherds and Pastures over the Flock, Responsibility and Privileges Given to Us. And there are two verses quoted here which I would like to read, beginning in Acts 20:28. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And then 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversights thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Dearly beloved, we will share this session. David told me that he will cover this subject from the New Testament, and I should look from the Old Testament what we find. And when I look into the Old Testament, what it says about shepherds, I said, well, half an hour is actually never sufficient. It will probably take a whole week and I wouldn't cover the topic. So we prayed about it, and I think the Lord has really given me a portion in Ezekiel 34, which, by the way, was already mentioned in one of the Bible studies. A brother pointed out how important that chapter is for us. And I have chosen this chapter because it says here responsibility and privileges. And you know, there is no privilege without responsibility. And in here, we find, in a way, on one side, a very sad, a very dark picture, but sometimes behind the dark picture, the light shines even brighter, and the light, of course, points always to our Lord Jesus Christ as our good and great shepherd. Ezekiel 34 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains, and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, said the Lord of God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not the flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hands, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, and I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is, that the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and I gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lay down, saith the Lord God. And I will seek that which was lost, and I bring again that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. And verse 22. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It is the word of God which is before us. It's the word of God which is spoken here. Briefly, this chapter, what is the prophetical background of this chapter? We have first 1 to 6, where it is a description of the evil doing of these faithless shepherds. They are characterized by selfishness, by egoism. They seek their own advantage, and they rule over the flock hard and merciless. Verse 7 to 10, we find that God addresses these faults, these wrong shepherds. He shows them their responsibility. And I think he does that to us too, even in our days. He puts them under their responsibility because they were privileged to be shepherds over Israel. But God has not forgotten his people. And so we will talk in verse 11 to 22 how God will deliver his flock from their hands. God is pointing out the Messiah. We have read it in verse 23. And of course, the Old Testament doesn't know anything about the day of grace. It was hidden for them. It was a mystery which was revealed to the Apostle Paul, which then was shown to us. But here we find that he's pointing out to a day to come, to the millennium, when then Christ, the true shepherd, will actually, as his servant, the servant of David, he shall feed the sheep. He will shepherd the flock. You know, Ezekiel was in a time of decline. Everything was in ruin. When you read that description of these false shepherds, if you may say, you might say, well, that has nothing to do with us. We are not like this. We might know some churches where they have pastors which are not even saved. Yeah, maybe they are these shepherds which don't know, which can't feed the flock. But you know, all these things are written for our admonition, for our example. And I think God shows sometimes very, very clearly how He perceives things. And so before you say that has nothing to do with me, let us hear the voice of the Lord. Maybe He's taking that portion this morning to talk to me, to talk to you. We live in a very similar time as Ezekiel did. And you know what we need? We need open eyes and open ears. Do we see what the needs of the flock is? Do we hear what their problems are? Secondly, we need time. A shepherd needs a lot of time. And our excuse today is that we have no time. But maybe we have time for everything but the shepherding of the flock. Thirdly, we need a feeling heart, a sensitive heart for the sheep. I think we had it yesterday. The Lord Jesus was moved with compassion. Are you moved with compassion when you say you are there on a Wednesday night and you see how many benches are empty? They are maybe filled on Sunday morning. Sunday morning only, Christians, as we sometimes say, well, maybe you get so accustomed to it. Well, this is just happening that way. No, we should be moved that this and that brother is not here. And lastly, we need the mind of Christ, what we had yesterday morning. I would suggest that the key verse in that chapter is verse 11. And there we have four important statements which coming directly from God. And I wish that we really imprint that in our minds and in our hearts. First of all, He says, the Lord God says, behold, I, even I. He is the great I Am. In the book of the Gospel of John, we have a whole series of I Am. We know He presented Himself as the I Am that I Am to Moses. And this I Am is here in our midst. Are you aware when we come together that He is here, His presence with all His authority is amongst us? I think many things will change if we are always aware of the fact that He is here. Secondly, He says, I will. You know, He has a clear declaration of His will, of His purpose. I will. We find not many such expressions from the Lord Jesus. But I think of John 17, for instance, where it says, I will, Father, I will. There are certain declarations of His will, and here is one, I will. What does He want to do? The third thing is that I will both search my sheep and seek them out. These two things are not exactly the same. Searching out is to go after the sheep. But then when you find them, you seek them out. You take care of them. You take care and you tend your sheep. You feed them. You care for them. And fourthly, and I think that is a most important statement here, He says, my sheep. Whose sheep they are? Not mine.
not yours.
Sometimes we treat the people of God as if they will be ours. But we have read, it is the church of God. It's the assembly of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His flock. Here it says, they are my sheep. Are you aware, if you are a shepherd, wherever God has placed you, that you're looking after His sheep, not our sheep? The false shepherds, I would like to suggest 6 points regarding these faithless shepherds. Number one, they had a wrong assessment of their relationship to God. Now let me ask you, what is your relationship to God? What is your relationship as a shepherd towards the Lord Jesus? If my heart is not filled with the love of the Lord for His sheep, how can I be a good shepherd? We need the love of God in our heart, which is burning for the sheep. And secondly, I need the fear of God. And both was lacking with the shepherds here. They had no fear of God. They didn't care about the sheep. All they did, they looked after their own things. Secondly, they had the wrong assessment of their relationship to the flock. They thought it was their own flock. But it is, as we already said, it is His flock, His sheep. Thirdly, their conduct was really characterized by total selfishness. When it says they do feed themselves, you know, they had only looked at themselves and tried to get the benefit out for themselves. You know, we live in a very egoistic time. We live in a time where really you can see that every hand, man is only thinking of himself. And you know, we live in that world, and the danger is that you and I get affected by the spirit in this world and we start thinking about ourselves, to glorify ourselves. Everybody wants to be the best and wants to be a place amongst the brethren, you know. No. It is His place, and it's not our own. You know, they also, we had this morning, our brother talked about the fat. Ye eat the fat. And we read in Leviticus that all the fat is the Lord's. This was a portion which belonged to the Lord, and they were eating the fat. No fear of God. Only thinking of themselves, and they did not feed the flock. Fourthly, they had no understanding for the flock. Let me turn to Isaiah 56 and verse 11. Isaiah 56 verse 11 in the middle. And they are shepherds that they cannot understand. Why? They all looked at their own way, every one of his gain from his quarter. They cannot understand. If you're in the wrong spirit, you cannot understand. Oftentimes we say, look, why is it? Why is it that this brother is not coming anymore? Why is it that there's a problem here, a problem there? We don't understand why we are not in the presence of the Lord, which can only give us light, and that we really, He wants to show us that we understand the need of the sheep, and that we can go out and really address the need. But if you don't understand the need, how can we address it? It is impossible. Number five, there was a total lack of interest. Now read verse 4. It didn't matter in what way the sheep were suffering, they couldn't care less. How much different is verse 16? The Lord Jesus, I will seek that which was lost. And the others, the deceased have you not strengthened. You can compare these two. It's just black and white. The one didn't care at all. They had no interest. But the Lord has an interest in each and every one. You know, some brothers, some sisters, we get on much better as other ones. You know? And I know exactly in my own heart too, if a friend of mine has a problem, I go out and go and see him and talk to him. But if it's another brother which I don't like so much, you know, and he doesn't come to the meeting and say, well, it's his problem. He knows that the Lord is here, why doesn't he come, you know? So we know, we make differences between the sheep, you know, the one we go after, the other not. The Lord says, whatever the need is, I tend to the need. I go after it. And lastly, and this is most sad, in the end of verse 4, they treat the sheep hard, roughly. They ruled over them with force and with cruelty. Can you imagine that? We say, we don't do that. It's only the shepherds of Israel which did that. Now, why did 1 Peter 5 speak again, not to lord over them? How easy we can oppress, or how easy we can really put pressure on certain people, and that's not bringing them back. It's even driving them away. And therefore, what are the results, the consequences of such a behavior? First of all, in verse 5, we have that they are scattered. Secondly, that they are wandered around aimlessly. Thirdly, that they became a prey for the beasts. And fourthly, there was none who would seek after them. None who would search after them. Now, this is like a mirror which God holds up, and you and I can look into that mirror. He says, I hold you responsible for what you're doing. What do we see when we see in that mirror? Not the whole thing has to be matched, but is there one or two points here where you see yourself all of a sudden? Well, then it is time to listen to the voice of the Lord. Because, and then we find that also, that God will come in judgment. He said very clearly, I will deliver my flock from their mouths, but he also says, I will deal with you, shepherds. So it's a great privilege to be a shepherd for the Lord Jesus and for his flock, but it bears responsibility. How do we carry out this particular function? And therefore, he doesn't stop there. And this is really the word of God, again and again. God doesn't only show us the danger, warns us against what we can do wrong, but then he says, now turn around, I have a man. And he is the perfect example for us. What does he do? First of all, he seeks out the sheep in verse 11. He has a real interest in the sheep. Secondly, he delivers the flock. And we have that in verse 10 and in verse 12, I will deliver them out. And again in verse 22, I will save my flock. The Lord will deal with the wrong shepherds, but he also will be merciful on the sheep. And this is the comfort even in our days. The Lord has not changed. He is still seeking out the sheep. He has still an interest. He knows his sheep. He cares for his sheep. And also he will deliver it. And then we have read in verse 13, I will bring them out from the people. He brought the people of Israel out of Egypt. There was no way that they could be blessed in Egypt. They had to be come out. But not only for the wilderness, he says, I will bring them into their own land. So the first thing is to bring them out. And you know, in many cases I've seen, I even seen in my own family, if one of my sons or daughters have a real problem, there is always a cause. There is something in their lives which pulls them away. And I have to get to that point to bring them out, to deliver them from that which really takes them away. You see, you can't just say, well, please come to the meeting again next week. No, you have to find what is the cause which is pulling them away. And you have to take them out from there. And only then you can put them back into the land, back into the blessing that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. But we have to put our foot on it. We have to conquer it like the people of Israel did. We also have that he gathers his sheep. It is always the Lord's purpose to gather his sheep. Isn't that wonderful? The contrary of it is to scatter the sheep. And God warns us in Romans 16, verse 17, those who scatter the sheep, he will deal with them. But you know, the gathering is always an act of mercy, an act of grace. John 11, 52. John 11, 52. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Dearly beloved, we know that the people of God are scattered. And I'm not talking in general about Christianity, but just in our local meeting, how many are scattered? We hardly see them at the meetings. They are scattered. They're all around doing other things. The Lord wants to gather them. So if you have the mind of Christ, it is also your purpose, your desire to gather them, not amongst, around me, but around the Lord, who is the center of our gathering. And then, lastly, he feeds the sheep. Five times, 14 from verse 13, onwards to 17. Five times you read that he will feed his sheep. How important it is that we feed the sheep. Have you ever been in a meeting? And I have been, and up front was some brothers, and they had a wonderful Bible study. But on a level that they fed themselves, and the rest of the people, they didn't know what they were talking about. You know, when we are, we can do that in our homes. Get together a few brothers and have an intensive Bible study. But if you are in the meeting, we should think about the flock. They are the young ones, the lambs and the sheep. And everyone has got, you know, an appetite. They would like to eat. But if they don't understand the thing what we're talking about, how can they feed? The Lord would like us to feed the sheep. In verse 13 at the end, he says where he feeds the sheep. Upon the mountain of Israel. You know, dear brethren, now at this conference, we are on the mountaintop. A wonderful experience. Away from the world, away from our everyday life. We are just together to study the Word. It's a mountaintop experience. Feeding at the mountain of Israel. And we can praise the Lord for that. But then the next thing is by the rivers. You know, as soon as that conference is going to be over, and we go step down, and we go back into the valley in our everyday life. But there too, the Lord makes sure that you can feed in our everyday life, in our valleys. There's a river. which brings the water and which brings the food. And then in all the inhabited places of the country, and I would suggest that these are our families. Dear brothers, dear fathers, are you taking your responsibility? Have you set up the altar in your family? Have you really made an effort that your children, your family, your wife and your children are fed, not once in a week, once in a month, now every day, in your inhabited places? Don't leave it up to the brothers once, twice a week in the meeting. No, it is our responsibility to feed in our family. Not only myself, but the family has to be fed. And there I have to cater for the age of the children, and I have to see what their needs are, and this has to be based on the circumstances. But there is a wonderful thing, and the Lord says, I will feed them in a good pasture. A good shepherd can provide nothing else than a good pasture, and also a fat pasture, which we see in verse 14. And in a fat pasture shall they feed. There is plenty. From the Lord's point of view, there is plenty for everyone. The question is whether we take it up and whether we feed. Do you feed the sheep? Do we feed? Do I feed the sheep? To finish, Matthew 14. Now I'm turning to the New Testament as well. Matthew 14. Matthew 14 and verse 16. You find that, first of all, they say to the Lord Jesus, send the multitude away. It is time, you know, the time has passed, and, you know, it's evening, and, you know, send the multitude away, verse 15. But what does the Lord say? The Lord says unto them, they need not to depart. No, the sheep, let them be here. They shall not be depart, give you them to eat. That is the call and the order of the shepherd. The great shepherd, he says to you and me, you, go and feed the sheep. And when we hear his voice, feed the sheep, then we have to come like these disciples and say, what have you got? I have nothing. We have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We have to admit our nothingness. We have to say, what can we do? But the Lord has the answer. If you have a heart to feed the flock of God, His flock, His sheep, and even if you say, what have I got? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What is that among so many? He says, bring them hither to me, and He will bless it. May the Lord help us to take these things to heart so that His name may be glorified for His name's sake. Amen.
Turn with me very briefly to the book of Isaiah and chapter 40. I just want to pick up the meaning of shepherd. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. This verse can be read this way. He shall shepherd his flock like a shepherd. There's absolutely nothing wrong with putting it that way. Because the word feed in verse 11 and the word shepherd are the exact same word in this verse. He shall shepherd his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He'll be strong on our behalf. He'll be caring on our behalf. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. The Lord Jesus is sensitive to our needs. He knows precisely what we need. To be a shepherd means really to tend a flock. It means also to pasture the flock, that is to graze the flock. To be a shepherd really means to rule the flock. So what the Lord says to me, I take it up and I press on for his glory because he is my Lord and my master. To be a shepherd means to rule the flock. And we as flock have to learn what it is to hear, to listen to the voice of the shepherd, to be obedient. But I'm afraid that to be a shepherd really also means to associate with a person as a friend. In Matthew's Gospel then, in chapter 3, if I press on into the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel in chapter 3, we read some precious things about the Lord Jesus. The first thing that is said, Matthew's Gospel in chapter 3, is found in verses 5 and 6. They went out to him, that is the true shepherd of Israel. His forerunner was here, and the forerunner was calling people because he wanted to point them to the true shepherd. And they went out to him, that is to John the Baptist, Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. That is, in a measure of speaking, you and me. We are able to be baptized confessing our sins. So if the sheep are in the waters of baptism, what does the shepherd do? In the same chapter 3, we discover in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized by him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized by thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. Who is the shepherd? The Father is pointing out who the true shepherd is. This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found all my delight. It is very precious and important for us to notice, if the sheep have gone into the waters of baptism, the shepherd steps into the waters as well. If the sheep are confessing their sins, the shepherd, however, is fulfilling righteousness. He had no sins to confess. He is the pure and perfect Son of God, and therefore he takes a place alongside of his sheep. Such for the definition of a shepherd. The one who associates himself with his sheep as a friend, but the one who tends his flock, who feeds them, the one who pastures them, he allows them to graze, but he's also the one who rules the flock. The meaning of the word shepherd encompasses all of that. The Lord Jesus Christ was really the true shepherd of Israel. But I want you to notice something else, because I plan to be finished at 4:15. But I want you to notice something else in 2 Kings and chapter 3. I'm just borrowing from Brother Hans' section for this. I realize he did from mine. And we know how difficult it is to work from one testament of the Bible exclusively. The Old Testament gives very clear and specific practical things. The New Testament gives us really Christ having come, the precious explanation of the details given many times in the Old. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 4. We come to what we do not need to have as our shepherds. It is a very interesting word that is used in verse 4 of 2 Kings chapter 3. As we notice it, Misha, the king of Moab, was a sheep master. I want to say to you very clearly, a sheep master is not a shepherd. A sheep master is one who is literally a spotter of cattle. That is, he finds a method of piercing the cattle, maybe through the ear. And get to understand that sometimes the Bible uses the word small cattle, and it means sheep and goats. So I am not mixing the thing. I am simply using the language of the Bible. This man, he would pierce those sheep. Perhaps he would take an ear and bore a hole in that ear to mark the sheep as his. What the sheep master was interested in doing was being a master over the flock. He did not care for the flock. There was another thing that sheep masters did in those days, and it is this. He would take a hot iron and put it in the fire, but at the end of the iron is his brand. And when he's finished with that sheep, he stamps his brand in the sheep's hide, that their no wool will ever grow in that spot again. Such was this man. He was the sheep master. God does not want me to be a sheep master, but he wants me really to be a caring shepherd. It is very, very important. There's another man in the Bible, and I'm still going to borrow from the second book of Samuel. And this is in chapter 13. He was a selfish son of David. And this selfish son of David, he did not even deal with the sheep himself. But what he did was, he had sheep shearers. I want to say to you that a sheep shearer is not a shepherd. In 2 Samuel 13, there is verse 23. And in that verse 23, we discover it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. These high and lofty dignitaries, he invited them. He had no time and place for the lowly. And the important thing here is that these sheep shearers, it is really an expression that has to do with the destroying. To cut off, to shear off, or to shave those sheep. It has the idea of the destruction of sheep. And Absalom was one who was engaged in this miserable task. He got his sheep shearers to take off all the wool from those sheep. Beloved, what is happening to the people of God amongst us, over whom the Spirit of God has made us overseers? Are they suffering the effects of the sheep master? Are they suffering the effects of the sheep shearers? God would have us to realize that the flock is His, and that as we tend the flock, we so care for them that the sheep are helped, the sheep are happy, the sheep are at peace. The sheep receive a blessing. The sheep become fat. The sheep become healthy. And the sheep press on, listening to the voice, the one voice of the shepherd. In Luke's gospel, and chapter 2, the gospel of Luke and chapter 2, what am I engaged in as a shepherd? Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Pause there. Wherever God has placed you, the shepherds were in the same country, they were abiding in the fields. Wherever God has placed you, God caused me to be born in Barbados. He made my color of my skin. This is how He wanted me. Do I have a problem with it? I have no problem with it. I'm happy to be alive. I'm glad that I am a child of God. I'm glad He placed me where He placed me. I'm glad for the precious things He has done in my life. He has given me a beautiful wife, a lovely daughter. He has taken care of me. He treated me like a boy when I was a boy. And the Lord has lavished His care upon me. I am the happiest man in the world. I hope that you are the happiest man in the world as well. But there were these shepherds abiding in the fields. In the Gospel of John in chapter 15, need not turn there. The Lord Jesus would say, abide in me. To abide means to remain where He has put me. To abide means to stay. To abide means to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. All of that is meant by the word abide. He says, let my word abide in you. He says, abide in me. God wants me to be like one of these shepherds in the Gospel of Luke. They were abiding in the field. Notice it doesn't say the fields. It says the field. There's one field. And they were keeping watch over the flock, not over the flocks. It is His flock. One flock. But notice there were shepherds. And here is another thing. When the Apostle John wrote to the church at Ephesus, he spoke of the angel. He treated it as one group, the representative element. Though they were in the plural, he saw them as one, the angel of the church of God. And here in this one, it is saying they were abiding in the field and they were keeping watch over the flock. It is God's flock. A portion of that flock may be in Egypt. A portion of the flock right here in Guyana. But certainly we left some home in Barbados. It is His flock. And God is saying to us as the shepherds that we must press on together and see the flock as one flock. Not my flock, but His flock. And I am merely a servant leader. A helper in the work. But such is what these shepherds in the Gospel of Luke were doing. Now in verse 15, it came to pass when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. These shepherds were able to deliberate and to confer with each other over things. We have a need to be in conference. That's what brought us here. That as shepherds, we might be able to say one to another, let us. God is challenging us this week in Guyana, in the West Indies, in the Caribbean, that we, as the shepherds of the flock, might more and more be able to say, let us! It is His flock. It cannot be repeated too often. There are men who seek to draw away disciples after themselves, but the shepherd's rod is going to crack them. God would help us to understand that as a shepherd, when in the book of the Psalms, in Psalm 23, when David says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, these are two different sticks. The rod literally against the wolf is stick for beating. The staff is literally something to lean on. It is something that supports me. But they both comforted the one who is a sheep when he saw his master with the rod and with the staff. He says, they comfort me. Now we know how David slew the lion and the bear. When I was a boy, I imagined that David took the lion with his bare hands. What folly. David had a rod and a staff. He knew when to use them. I'm afraid he also had a sling and he dealt with Goliath that way. But the important thing is that these shepherds were able to say, let us go now even on to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. As shepherds, we need divine revelation. We need to see the Lord making known to us His word, His mind, the path. And as the Lord does this, we press on with the flock. in order that they might keep their eyes on the true shepherd. It is so very important. But I also want to indicate that the Lord leads us to pasture. These are things that are peculiar to shepherds and sheep. In John 10 and verse 9, I read that verse. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. It is the food upon which the sheep feed. It is a place where the sheep are content because there is sufficient, there is plenty for all. And if we are in his fold, if we are in his flock, there is pasture for all. And the Lord wants to lead us so that we go in and out and find pasture. Not only in this is he the shepherd, but he is the one who really is the door. For he says in the beginning of our verse 9, in John 10, I am the door. I think Brother Christie was explaining to us that in the eastern countries, the shepherd himself is the door. Because the sheepfold has no door. So the shepherd lies down in the open space that would be the entrance for the sheep. And if a wolf comes to the flock, the shepherd is the first to meet the wolf. That is precisely how we as shepherds must behave. Warding off the dangers that threaten the flock so that the flock can feed safely and contentedly and be fat for the glory of God. It is so very, very important. But I want to make another distinction before I stop. And the distinction is between the fold and the flock. Still in this Gospel of John, I hear, and of chapter 10 as well, I hear the Lord Jesus speaking in verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. When the Lord Jesus comes for us to take us home, not a hoof will be left behind. The Lord Jesus knows his sheep, and he's coming back for us in a moment. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Such is the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. In verse 16, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. There the word fold is correct. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock. There the word flock is the word. It is not fold a second time at all. It is the flock. There is a difference between a fold and a flock. The fold is the enclosure. And the Lord Jesus was really saying here, I have some Jewish sheep. Now, I don't belong to the Jewish sheep fold. I was not born of Abraham. I'm a black man born in the Caribbean. I am not saying I'm proud to be black, because I believe that proud is an ugly word. I believe that being proud is not a Bible word. In fact, God says that he is going to humble the proud. I am happy to be what I am, but I certainly trust that I am not proud. God help me not to be proud of these things. But in verse 16, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, the Jewish enclosure. We were outside, strangers, worshipping heathen dumb idols, out in the bush, cutting ourselves with razor blades, and doing all kinds of stupidness, tattooing our bodies. That is what my great-great-grandfather was doing out there in the bush. He was mad to do that, because God says, don't do it. Oh, there are many young people who are glad to pierce their ears. I don't believe in piercing ears. This body that God has given me is the temple of the Spirit. Why should I take an ice pick or whatever and pierce my ears? Why don't I pierce my lip? But there are people piercing nowadays, aren't there? So we're not going too far into that. But the point is this. This body belongs to him. But I certainly did not belong to the Jewish sheepfold. But the Lord Jesus says here says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice.
the Gentiles brought into the family of God. He says there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The church is one flock. But it's made up of Jews and Gentiles. And God is saying, listen, the Lord Jesus is saying, there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the one shepherd. And as I pause, let us appreciate that in John 5 and verse 2, Gospel of John, chapter 5 and verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep gate. That is the word. There is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. The word Bethesda really is the house of kindness. And this is what should mark the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kindness and love that this great shepherd shows for his sheep. The kindness and love that the shepherds who work together under him must show for the sheep. He says, listen, the house of mercy. And in these there were those who had every kind of need. The Lord Jesus walks by, wilt thou be made whole? That is what the shepherds are doing amongst the people of God, making the sheep to feel the sweet influences of the Spirit of God and of the Word of God and of the heart of the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to understand and to appreciate what our role is. I remember a few years ago, a little girl, I was telling my class they were going home for vacation, and every now and then during the vacation we would hear of some boy who drowned in the ocean because they went swimming during the holiday unsupervised. I gave them a few tips. Listen, boys, when you go swimming, take your mom and dad with you. When you go swimming, don't try to see how far out you could go. Swim across. When you go to that beach, be very careful of your company. Keep only good company and stuff like that. I also said to them, when you are home alone during this long vacation, be careful what you watch. There are some of your family and so on who might be watching other things on television. Be very careful what you watch. A little girl came to me and she said, sir, I have a problem. I'm going home shortly, and my big brother is going to put on some blue movies, and I have to be there with him while he's watching. I said, darling, listen, go into your bedroom, close the door, and keep away from him. The sheep know where they can find help. There are persons who will come to you and say, look, sir, I need help with this, I need help with that. One day in my class, a boy came to me, tears were rolling down his eyes, he was weeping uncontrollably. You know what he said, sir? My daddy got shot last night. All of this is shepherd's work, listening to the sheep, caring for them. And I take my Bible in the morning and I say to those children, listen, clasp your hands or close your eyes, because we are going to pray. Just yesterday, I said to a dear brother, you know, I used to take this Bible and I would say to those children, listen, we have a God in heaven who is alive and real. I say to them, is the air real? Is air in this room? They said to me, sir, yes, air is in this room. I said, can you see it? They said, no. I said, well, God is right here in this room. And we cannot see him either. But trust him. These little ones need to know for sure that I believe in the Lord Jesus. That's what my job is as a shepherd. To demonstrate that I belong to him. And many of these lambs are going to follow. Pray for them. Pray for us. That we might press on in the work of the Lord. But our intention is that every one of those little ones might be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. The saints and the folk in the assembly, no less, God wants them to reach home safely and rejoicing in their Savior. May we do this for his name and mercy's sake.